Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Now everybody. I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Good morning. Good day.
Yeah,
good welcome day. To the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined here with Elgin David.
What's up, everybody?
And John Levine.
Hey, welcome, welcome, guys. Good to hear you and see you again, I guess.
Yeah. He's got special equipment. He can see everybody.
Yes, it's called the internet.
Yeah, he's got, like, everybody who's listening to the show. This sneaky bastard's figured out a way to, like, Skype in through, like, use, like, everybody's camera on their laptop.
Right.
That's right.
Or their camera on their iPhone. He's looking right at him right now.
Yeah.
John,
I'd put on a shirt if I were you.
Yeah, well, listen, this is what you get. If you're going to be a sneaky fuck, this is what you're going to get.
What's with the gorilla mask?
Well, listen, I can't buy a clown mask.
Yeah.
Nobody will sell you a clown mask
it's
anymore.
It's true. Even Ronald McDonald is going into hiding.
Yeah. Even Ronald's like, hey, man, this is part of my gig.
McDonald's is pulling him back.
Yeah.
You know, they really are.
Ronald's all pissed. Like, look, I don't look threatening. I'm like, well, you never met my nephew.
He never thought it would happen, but karma got to him. You know, he kicked out all the other, the Hamburglar, Grimace.
He's like, why should.
Now he's going down the tubes.
Yeah. Why should I, you know, of all the fucking clowns, why am I the one, you know, Bozo's dead. You know what I mean? It's like he's not fucking around anymore.
Rest in peace, Bozo.
He's gone. You know, so the only clown is Ronald, who's like, you know, this is bullshit. These motherfucking clowns.
He's probably
going around
the most
scaring everybody.
Famous clown besides Bozo.
You would think,
yeah,
Bozo.
And after Ronald, who is left? And as far as famous clowns,
it's Trump. Last one left. So, well, yeah, it's exciting. This is an interesting day here because, you know, Elgin's here on a different day because Peter Leonard, you know, Peter said he was going to quit the show.
He did say that.
And then I think after like a few days and I'm like, well, Peter's like, I'm really sorry. I'm like, that's good. That's good, dude. That's fine. You know, I'll work it out.
He missed us.
So he's like, I'll work it out. And he's like, yeah. I go, yeah, no problem. Elgin will come in. You know, him and I'll do something. John's going to call in. We're good. You know, I got guests that come in on Wednesday. It's actually going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I know he'd get all like,
you said that?
Yeah.
So you want us to, like, you know, give him a little
dig? I just want to let him know, like, listen, it's been fun, but if you want to go, then don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
Wow.
Was this a result of, like, was there, like, a fight or something, or did he just decide he couldn't make the time for it anymore?
Exactly. I mean, you know, listen, Peter Leonard's been doing the show longer than anybody, even Lenny Travis, who started with me, because Lenny's haven't been really on the show.
Yeah.
So he's been here forever, and he missed, like, maybe 6 or 8 shows in the last 4 years. So he's been here. But, you know, that's what I said. His daily schedule, his work schedule, kind of like made this a bit of a chore, right? Like, you know, it's like, you know, and listen. So I said, that's good. I understand. You know, and I even talked
to him. You know, he has to take care of business. You know what I mean? You got to understand that first, obviously.
Family first.
He has to handle his
livelihood.
Business.
Mi casa. I got to have a house.
And his cats. You know, he's got to take care of his cats.
They're leaving him one by one. You know, the other cat's like, I can't believe they all left me by myself with him. Yeah, he's a good. Any rate, so I knew that would, you know, I know Peter, so I figured I'd tell him it that way, and he was like, oh. So my wife and I stopped by his house and had a couple glasses of wine, hanging out with him.
Right.
And he's like, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be back after next week.
Okay, so he had a change of heart.
Yeah, of course. can't be away. You know, and listen, John, I even said, you know, Elgin, I was like, maybe I'm just going to kibosh the show. We even talked about it last week.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we're like, you know what?
And I had to talk Dougie out of fucking quitting the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, but you've been talking about that for a little while. I mean, you talk about maybe just kind of giving it up.
And I told him, I said, why would you, I mean, this show is kicking butt, and you've been doing it for so long, you put so much time into it, and you shouldn't. I said, why not just reinvent it or just, you know, change, put a little change in it. I said, a little change can make all the difference and breathe new life into the
you
show.
You said
if
big
that's
change.
Case.
You said change the whole thing.
I did not say change the whole thing.
Now you say a little change.
I could show you. You know,
well, listen, hold on. What's the difference between a big change and a little change?
Change is change. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
But I, you know, I was like, you could change the name or change like concepts or do different segments or give people segments and stuff like that. And you were on board too. You were like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And even this is great having John Skype in. You know what I mean? We can still do a show, but not.
I wasn't
going
to let anybody know it was a Skype. I wasn't. It was supposed to be like a secret that he's Skyping in.
No, well, I don't know how he's. I can't see him on the screen. He might be hacking through the Matrix
right, next to you,
right now.
Dude. You don't see him right there?
Oh, it's a hologram.
Yeah,
wow.
It's John.
Oh my. Hey, wow. John.
Maybe I should have put that mannequin in the
chair.
Actually,
we should do this more. You should make more of a deal of it and say, you know, joining us live from our studios in Atlanta.
It's super cool. If you guys didn't know, John just moved to Atlanta, so that's where he's at.
I did,
and it's super cool to have him still on the show. Through the internet. It's technology is awesome, dude.
It is. And listen, when it comes to John, you don't have to rely on him knowing what the fuck he's doing.
Absolutely. He's a hacker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's got
on the golf course too, yeah.
That's how he hacked into your mainframe, and that's how we're listening to
that's
him.
That's how good he is. Right, he's actually playing 18 holes right now.
Yeah. He has his hologram.
He's driving on a fucking golf cart.
A robot.
With the wind blowing.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. So, we're here, man. That's part of the fun of the whole thing.
Yeah, we're still here.
And as a tease, we're going to, you know, one of our top stories today we're going to talk about to everybody's appetite is Amy Schumer in Tampa and having a couple hundred Trump fans walk out on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, it's interesting to hear everybody's thoughts on that. You know, tweeted at Wake Up Dougie, you know, Amy Schumer, how you felt. You know, someone did point out something about that, that, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, Trump, the idea about Trump is, you know, have a thick skin, you know, everybody's so politically correct, and that Trump supporters get offended if they're making fun of their guy. That's not being thick-skinned. So that was like one of the things that would, yeah, you have to ask.
Yeah, but that's just like him himself, you know what I mean? Like, he can dish it, he just can't take it. As soon as someone's pointed back at him, he's like, it's everything's against me, and it's a scam, it's all fixed, you know.
Right. Corrupt system.
True.
The point. And of course, you know, there's a couple other silly little things, and we got some stories today. But, you know, the story is John is in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in Atlanta now. He's in an apartment. You know, the first thing is, to me, is from going from a home to an apartment or vice versa, it's weird getting acclimated, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is. You know, definitely a little bit. There's obviously a lot less space. But I, you know, I like it. I mean, it's cozier. It's, you know, there's people around, which is nice because I kind of felt a little isolated being in the house, you know, just because it was just me and the dog. And then, you know, but here it's like, you know, I go out to check the mail. There's people there. I go out to, you know, walk the dog. I see people, you know, so there's constantly, you know, different people around. And it's a little bit more, you know, friendlier, you know.
Yeah, are you blending in?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the place where I'm living is, you know, it's sort of right in the thick of things, and it's, you know, a lot of young professionals live here. People a little bit younger than me, but not too young. You know, it's not like a college place. But, you know, definitely young professionals, and you know, everyone's been very friendly and very, very welcoming and stuff, so which is nice. That's always a good thing. And, you know, just trying to get into the comedy scene up here, which is super strong. It's a really great scene up here from what I've seen so far, and I'm excited for it.
Hey, you went to the Community Star Bar.
I did.
You
I
get
did.
On?
That's a hell of a show. I'll be honest with you. That was my first experience with an Atlanta comedy show. I didn't perform. I just went to go watch it.
Right.
And Kim Wapaya had actually gave me a huge hookup and introduced me to Rodney, who runs it.
Right.
And he's you know, he's obviously really plugged in the comedy scene, and she introduced me a whole bunch of people that I've networked with. And but anyway, I just went to go watch the show just to check it out. And there was, first of all, there's 200 people there in the audience on a Monday night.
Yeah, it's packed every time I've been there.
Packed. packed. I mean, it was packed. And I mean, there was probably
standing room only in the back. People just standing around.
I mean, 15, 16 comedians in the lineup and just, you know, one better than the next. I mean, it was just such strong talent. It was incredible.
It's got a comedy Def Jam feel. Like everybody comes out and does like 7-8 minutes, whatever it is. A lot of fun.
I was very impressed with it, and I was very impressed with the level of talent.
He's like, by the way, Elgin, John's like one of these guys that's got a new girlfriend, and he's so excited. You know what I mean? He's like, oh my God, everything's so great over here. I'm so glad I left that other bitch.
He's like a little puppy.
Yeah. Right, you know, he's all happy.
Excited.
He's like jumping excited. Around. He's like,
hold on. You're making it sound like I'm demeaning the South Florida scene. I'm not at all.
Well, listen.
It's just different.
I'm not going to be one to defend the Florida scene. I've got my own issues with it.
I'm interpreting it. He's just excited.
Yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying. It's like a new girlfriend. He's all giddy about it.
Oh, it's a great feeling. You know, everything's new and fresh, and I'm discovering new places and all that.
And then, the crowds are amazing.
And then you stop having
everything's
sex
so much, cool here.
It slows down.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
She gave me roadhead.
When was the last time you went to a Monday night mic in South Florida and there was 200 people there?
No doubt. It's a long running standing show.
Never?
But then how are some of the other open mics or the mics you've been to? Obviously that was the first one you went to. They all didn't match up to that caliber.
No, certainly not. And I was talking to Rodney after the show and he was like, he's like, you kind of set the bar a little high for your expectations. He's like, this is the number one show in Atlanta. So the next night I double dipped and I performed, and I went, I did one mic, at this place called Cat's Cafe, which is like a little kind of restaurant bar type place.
Right.
And when I walked in, there was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 people there. And I was like, okay, now this is sort of a typical, you know, what I was more expecting. But by the time
the fucking assholes in Florida, more like our shitty Florida open mics that we have.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Right. I was like, I was looking around. I'm like, God, I wonder if fucking Elgin's here or somebody like that. You know, oh, look, Tim Kirby's over there in the corner. No, but by the time the show started.
Timmy! Love seeing Tim Kirby on open mic.
So anyway, but that show ended up being packed. I mean, that room filled up, and I did well. And then I went to another mic where it was called the U Up mic, which is kind of like the last mic of the night. It starts kind of late. So I figured, all right, I'll shoot over there and I'll get a little time. Well, by the time I got there, the list was already like 22 people deep. And the girl's like, I'm sorry, it's full. She's like, but you came out. She's like, I can work in for a 2-minute spot.
Wow.
I was like, all right. So I just, you know, I kind of hung around and she kind of, you know, plugged me into the middle of the show, and I got up there and did 2 minutes
That was nice to plug you in the middle.
Yeah.
Totally. Not make you wait till like 28th.
Well, that's what I said to her. I said, are you going to make me, do I have to wait till the end? And I would have stayed around just because I want to, you know, meet people.
Yeah, you don't be
She was like,
dick.
No. She's like, I'll cut. She's like, there's a couple of people that I'm giving like short spots to. I'll kind of work you guys in the middle.
Right.
So.
Nice.
So, yeah. And tonight I'm going to hit up another mic tonight. I mean, obviously Star Bar's going on, but I'm not on the show. So I've already seen the show. I won't want to go out and actually perform. So I'm going to go to another open mic tonight.
Yeah. Nice.
Get some time.
Yeah, well, hey, man. Well, again, enjoy your new girlfriend, and you know, and make sure that you keep her up.
Just have fun, man.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah,
enjoy it, man.
Yeah,
I talked to our old friend Tim Hanlon on Facebook today a little bit, and you know, see how things are going. Good for him. He's got an audition coming up for the Improv.
Nice.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice thing, and you know, I was before the show. I was bringing up something to me. I was a little pissed, you know, because I pride myself trying to be professional somewhat when it comes to comedy. But not so long ago, like, I was called to go work at a club. I'm not going to mention names or clubs because I'm just going to, more important is just the shit, like, as a comic, you have to, like, be prepared for. Like, you know, you think you're doing all right, and it turns out to be a little bit of a shit pot, you know. But, you know, I was asked to work at a club because the act that was hired was not very strong. Like, they were concerned for the show.
So wait, so they had already, they did a performance with them and then realized that they weren't strong enough to hold the weekend or something?
Yeah, like, exactly. Okay. They said, hey, they referred you, but, you know, whatever. And so I said, you know, come. And these people said, yeah, come, we're going to pay you. We want you to feature.
Okay.
We want you to come and feature the rest of the weekend. So I went, and, you know, the... Yeah, the other act was one time, I think the first show, I did 25 minutes because they gave me the light at 20 minutes. So I was supposed to get a five-minute light. So when I got them five-minute light, I did 5 minutes and got off. And they were like, hey, man, you did a lot more time. I'm like, I did five minutes from the light. And they're like, whoa. And then the guy admitted, yeah, I gave him a light at 20, thinking I was going to do 25. All right, no big deal. The next night, fine. Next show, whatever. I watched the guy, the light again, same thing. I might have, the guy said, yeah, you did 5-6 minutes after I gave it a light. I go, okay. And I went back and I told the person, like, hey, man, I don't know what the issue with the time is. But now, mind you, I'm doing really well in these sets. And the other people are, doing what they were doing. You know what I mean? And I'm like, the club is trying to tell me they want me to do time.
Right.
And these people are saying, hey, stop doing so much time. So I'm like, listen, I'm going to watch my own watch from now on. I'm going to time it myself and I'm going to do 20 minutes. And that was it.
Say, hold on. It was the other performers that were saying you were doing too much time, or it was the club that was saying
that? No. The headliner was, the headliner came up to me and said to me, hey, listen, I appreciate it if you wouldn't do so much time. It's really getting ridiculous.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what? The manager.
And it was loud in the place. I could barely hear what she was saying, the person was saying. And I was like, I was like, whatever. You know what I mean?
It was a she.
It was a she. Right.
So, listen. So I was like, I tried to, whatever. And then I had a.
Where is this lead now?
And by the way, I mentioned Tim Allen. Tim Allen has nothing to do with it, but I was talking to Tim about this after it happened. But a friend of mine in L.A. said, hey, man, I heard, I heard this, that you ran your time and shit like that. And I went, are you kidding me? Something, this is what shit we're talking about? And I never, ever, to anybody's, to them, when I was saying, look, I didn't go to them and say, hey, the only reason I'm here is because you guys aren't doing it. They were going to probably cancel the show, and try to send these people home and try to get fill-ins real quick. But, now it's fine. The show's going to, I'm being accused.
So you saved the show.
But you know what I'm saying?
You swooped in like the Superman of comedy.
Well, I wouldn't go that
and
far.
And you hit him with them jokes.
I'm just.
Them laser jokes.
You know what I mean? I'm just doing my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job. Like.
Well, clearly you're doing too much of your job. That's what the problem is.
Right. So tone it down or something.
So, did they call you into like mediocrely save the show and then you just came in and fucking crushed it? But you should always crush it. It shouldn't matter.
Dude, it's easily my crowd in Naples. Older, upper class, white. It's like the same as Tavolino's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, it's not a challenging crowd for me. So, but that's not the point. The point is that, we're talking about minutes, if anything. It's one thing if, and it wasn't, it wasn't like I was trying to, and the real thing is after the show and everything, I even wanted to be a, a professional and say, look, I don't know what happened and all this stuff, but I'm just going to tell you. And the person said, no, I didn't, even the last show, I timed it, and everything was almost the same as my joke lines were. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like I did a bit I didn't do before. I did 20 minutes, and it was the same. It's almost the same thing I've been doing all weekend. You know what I mean? It's like, so I just want to, it should be cool and everything. I just want to, worry about it, whatever. Okay,
so
cool.
So let me ask you this. Do you have, like, beef with this person now?
No, or? I don't give a fuck about it. My thing was just that why would somebody, just shut you, what the fuck? No one gives a fuck. Don't go tell anybody, hey, this person's this. And
so it came, so you're saying it got all the way to L.A.?
Yeah, and it could just be one of these coincidences. It's somebody that I know that knows
this
person.
But they said that you run the light and you run.
Yeah, a little
shows.
So
now there's like an underground knowledge that you heard about Dougie Almeida? Yeah. He's
a light runner.
He's a light runner. That's not good.
Well, listen, that's the whole
thing. Is
that
what you're worried about, I'm saying?
No, I guess not.
On his way to the show, he ran 3 red lights.
Yeah.
just getting to the show.
I can't help but run the light. Yeah, dude, I don't know. It just bugs me that, you see something and you're trying to,
mm-hmm.
just trying to, And then, this stupid. The good thing is my friend who, told me, was like, he said, look, it sounds like this person had a rough weekend. I said, yeah, that's what I've chalked it up to. I wasn't going to be an asshole and say shit. Why are you giving me so much fucking grief? I'm coming here to make the show and have fun. Let's do this, and it worked out.
So was it originally going to be a 2-person show?
Yeah, and I guess they wanted someone else to open, like anybody, if you want to get a ride, a local person to drive you around, especially if you're coming from out of town. You know, you want to have all that. You want to have an opening act. Like we were talking about the other day, you know, sometimes a two-person show, you'd rather have a third person.
Absolutely.
You'd rather have a third person.
Right. Not only to fill some time, but also to bite that bullet and warm up the cold room.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And then the feature always comes off like a star because the host opened it up.
And a friend of mine had referred me to them, to, you know, when they were coming into town because they were looking for somebody like that. Not a paid spot, this and that. But the club called me Thursday, you know, the night when it happened. And I'm like, all right, well, of course, you know, I'm not doing anything. I'll come and do some shows, you know. So that's all you're trying to do. And then to be, you know, calm the fuck down, you know. You know, relax. I even picked these people up and from the air, you know, went out of my way to pick them up at their hotel. Grateful bastards. You know.
I'm glad so much has changed since I left Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you hit the nail on the head. It doesn't, who gives a shit?
You know what I mean? Thank you.
Hey, yeah, any rate, so John's in Atlanta. You're here now. And this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And that's what you're going to get today.
Yeah.
And we come back, we'll talk about this Amy Schumer deal and Trump. And I'm sure John has a few things to say.
I can't wait to sit back and listen to you guys.
No, you don't sit back, you know. You have to participate.
You got to jump in there.
I'll jump in where I feel it's necessary, but I'm not going to contribute much.
You need to be like the Gary Johnson of this discussion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're a part of it. Yeah, you're not a big part of it.
Don't have an Aleppo moment.
See? Another,
you know, you don't know what that reference
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or a world leader moment.
Right. You know? Okay. Exactly. You know, name a world leader.
Putin.
There you go. See?
There you go. Boom.
You're a comic, you know, musician. And here you are, Putin. You know, this guy was like, oh, I don't know. I can't believe anybody would even say they're going to vote for this fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
They're like, oh, well, at least he can admit when he's wrong. I'm like, really? I'm like, but that's twice in like 2 weeks.
I love having people work for me like that. Hey, I messed up the reservation. I fucked up. I'm an idiot. Okay, no problem. You know, hey, I forgot to lock the safe the other night. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. You know, right. Hey, I forgot that was your daughter. I banged her last night. Really? You know.
Well, that part I didn't really forget. I knew.
Anyway. Yeah, by the way, Elgin has a plan. We're going to go after my daughter's following.
Yeah, I said, why not take advantage? His daughter has a huge following on Instagram. Just be like, hey, give me a shout out.
Yeah,
I know I'm following her.
Yeah. Fucking bunch of pervs.
I'm not.
Yeah.
You should start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should, but I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, you guys can go follow whoever the fuck you want. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Talia Brahms with the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, giving you your daily dose of feminine energy and making sure these guys don't kill each other.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Through to all those thick-headed incontinent men. So Kathy's gonna see where her lady's at.
Let's talk woman to woman about men and their catheters. Ladies, do you order catheters for your men? Then you should know about Liberator Medical. When you order male catheters from Liberator Medical, he'll have his choice of new, innovative catheters from all the leading brands. Like the SpeedyCath Hydrophilic Catheter. It's pre-lubricated, so it's easy to use, right out of the package. No messy lube to spread.
This is the time of day where I sit on the couch and listen to my wife order pre-lubed catheters. Nothing to spread. Which brings us to our clip of the week.
There you go. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And that, of course, is the famous clip of Kathy Catheter, which is our Florida's own Lisa Correa, who played that, who did that commercial. Everybody knows her as the regular spokesperson for the swap shop. No, what is it?
The flea market.
The flea market. The festival flea market.
Festival flea market.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a good gig. And now our friend John may be getting a reoccurring role as the guy who deals with
The South Florida Fair.
Yeah. I thought he said South.
Shoot another one of those commercials next week.
Nice. Right. So like, cool, dude.
He's in such high demand. We want to have that fucking guy back.
Yeah.
We want, you know, every time I think of the fair, I think of him.
Well,
where else are we going to find a pudgy guy just to walk around with no expression on his face?
With that beard. Did you have the beard in the commercial or no beard?
No, I had the beard.
So are you gonna grow out like for the commercial?
No, it was the same length as I have it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he keeps it, you know, he's pretty...
I keep it trim.
Yeah.
He keeps it toit.
Yeah. So,
Toit like a toy guy.
Toit like a toy guy. See, you got that.
That's right. Anyway, welcome back to the show. And, hey, obviously the top story as comics we're going to talk about is Amy Schumer performed in Tampa in front of about 10,000 people, which is great. You know, with comic, think about it. When's the last time you performed in front of 10,000 people? I think the most I did was one of my early appearances. I did the Mayor's Gala Ball at the Broward Convention Center. I think it was for Mayor Ben Graber, I think it was. But I did like an auction. You know, it was an auctioneer, and I was up there, and I came up with a list of things that we didn't bring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like, here's just 10 auction items that didn't make the list. You know, it was like Michael Jackson's babysitting service, you know, shit like that.
Okay.
Right. Topical.
You know, topical. At the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was back in, you know, this is like 10 years ago. You know, Mel Gibson was going to do the Bible study. Yeah, it was a funny, you know, Lady Magic Fingers, Happy Ending Salon, you know, free hours. So there was like 1,500 people. But, you know, 10,000 is a lot of people.
I've done a couple shows for like thousands of people, but it was when I was in a boy band.
Yeah. But you got all your boy band guys with you. So you're like, you know, you're dancing around,
and
you're singing.
And it was part of like a bill, you know what I mean? Like there was a lot of people performing all day. So,
but still,
like
you're performing. You get to see those people.
And there's a lot of people, so it's cool. But when you're one person, Amy Schumer, doing 10,000 people, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, John and I have our own feelings about politics. You're not a very political guy at all. You know, you fail the Gary Johnson test. You know, you're probably one of the few people in America that Gary Johnson knows, like, maybe less about. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gary Johnson's now hoping that Elgin votes for him.
Right.
Because he knows he is. Right.
Right. Now he knows his name. He might just press his name by the, I heard some things about this guy. We're related.
I heard good things about Gary Johnson and Bill Weld.
Yeah, those two guys. This guy is going to end up like managing a Fridays. This guy Gary Johnson. That's what he's one day. Like I think in 8 years you're going to be seeing him. Like, hey, weren't you the guy? I know the Aleppo thing. You guys want an appetizer?
We got 2 for $20 going on right now.
Yeah, we got the 2 for $20.
It's the Aleppo special.
Hold on, I gotta go sing Happy Birthday, but it's really not Happy Birthday. Yeah, that's where you're gonna see that guy. So, all right, so, you know, listen, here's my feeling on politics and sometimes with comics. One of my favorite comics of all time being George Carlin, who I'd seen live maybe 7 or 8 times over the years, and he started to lose me when he got political. You know, everything, you know, I love the guy and everything, but he started getting into this political phase where, and you know, as much as I love the guy and his opinions and out of the box, you know, the way he thought, and he started, you know what I mean? He really started to me lose it, you know? So when it comes to comics and talking politics and stuff, you know, it's like, okay, there's certain ways to be funny about it, but you, it's like sometimes when the truth is so funny, there's nothing funny about it. You know, that's the way I'm looking at it, the current situation. Like, I've had friends ask me, hey, you got any political jokes? I'm like, to me, it's such a fucking joke that, you know what I mean? It's almost like, really, how can you top, almost in a sense,
what it already is?
Right. You know what I mean? Like this SNL clip with what's his name?
Alec Baldwin
playing him. It's fucking hilarious.
It's
you know
amazing.
What I mean? Because it obviously it's funny because they could do that in SNL. They could take, you know, he does a great impression, by the way. It's funny, scouting her around and going up a sneak. Dude, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was great.
Because that was just a simple thing that's so believable when you're watching it visually.
Right.
Right? It's not a joke. You know what I mean? Like somebody saying, it's like making a mockery of the whole fucking debate. Which,
it's satire.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I mean, John, you know, this is an interesting subject matter. You know, obviously freedom of speech. She could say wherever she wants. You know, I imagine as a, she can brush it off any way she feels. But as a performer, she knows that she may have isolated herself from a certain part of America that she was at some point attracting.
So you think she, yeah, you're saying that she just lost the number of fans? I don't know. I don't think everybody's that sensitive.
First of all, if it's 10,000 people, right, and I'm looking at the article right now, it's 10,000 people in the audience, 200 left. I mean, that's less than 25%, you know, like of a quarter of a percent.
Yeah, I know what you mean by percentage, and I use that percentage at times when you argue with me about stuff. But now I'm going to say, like, you know, to me, when I first heard the story, I said, yeah, it was probably like 10 or 15 people. You know, that's the first thing I thought to myself was, you know, it's basically like 10 or 15 people got pissed, a couple, you know, hoople heads. You're like, okay, don't talk about him like that, you know. And, you know, they walked out. You're in Tampa. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But then when I was read, it was 200 people. I'm like, that's actually a bit of a significant number because that is a bit of, you know, that isn't just a bunch of people that all came together that thought they were going to be, you know, this is actually a group of people that were kind of like, you know what, this is, where the fuck is this going? And they said, eh, you know what I mean? And who knows? You know what I mean? So to me, that's the significance of that number. Right.
But it's not. If you think about it, because it was the first number was so big. So it's like if you're doing a show with 100 people in it and one person walks out because of a joke that you tell, that's 1%, which is actually a larger percentage of the audience than this 200 was.
All right. So let me put this in it. And you're using your ratios. If I had 10,000, if I had 20,000 people at a if I had 100,000 people at a football game and all of a sudden 10,000 people decided to leave because of something that happened at the football game, that wouldn't be considered something to be.
Well, that's 10%. That's a big number.
All right. Well, we're talking about. I mean, you know,
if 1,000 people left her event out of the 10,000.
Yeah.
That's a big number, but 200 people out of 10,000 to me is not that big of a number.
No, and I think for her fame and everything, you're probably right. But when you know the real to me,
That's a pretty even number, by the way.
200?
200 even.
It's a good roundabout number.
They probably all went together.
200 members. So, I mean, it's...
It could have been 250. Yeah,
they probably rounded it. But I mean, think about it. Like, how many people do you walk in a normal show? You know what I mean? Like, you know...
Well, if you're talking to... I don't know. How to go at the open mics again?
That's very funny.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, we don't
brought people in, bitch.
Yeah, okay. He's a bringer already. He's just lived there for like 7 hours.
I just moved in. I'm bringing.
Brides everybody in his building.
I'm a super open micer. I fucking just moved in. I brought 20 people to my first show. It was the Mexicans that helped me move. Yeah. Well, yeah. My thing is like, you know, I don't go to a show wanting to hear pretend. You know, forget about that. Let me cry. I'm at the point. Obviously, I don't want to hear anybody's political view at this point. You know what I mean? I really don't. Have it. Take it. I'm not going to try to, you know, I have mine. You have your, I don't, you know what I mean? That, go to the voting booth with it at this point. We're weeks away. We're weeks away from this thing. And, you know, at this point, anybody who's still on the side, they've seen everything. They've heard every argument. They've had every, you know, news thing flashed at them. And you know what? I don't care what your point of view is.
Yeah, but listen, there's a big difference between sitting there and trying to tell people like how they should vote or what your political opinion is. And there's another thing of just making observational humor about something that's very much in the public sphere right now, which is the election.
True. She's just being topical right now.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
It just like, happens to be about
like
politics.
If she's sitting up there and she's going, nobody should vote for Trump, only vote for Hillary. You know, okay, that fine. That's you know, nobody should do that. Nobody wants to listen to that.
It just shows those people can't take a joke.
Observations. Go ahead, Elgin.
No, it just shows that they can't take a joke. That's all I'm saying.
Well, right. These people are uptight. Right. And listen, who, you know, if somebody, I would think people left because of that, you know, because they wanted to, you know, they just said, hey, I don't want to hear political shit. Who got it? It could have just been people didn't want to hear it, right?
No, but now, I guarantee you those people, if she was making fun of Hillary, they would have stayed.
I don't know that. You're making an assumption there because I know people that wouldn't want to hear it either way. And like, for example.
What if 200 people, other people left because of the Hillary jokes?
Right.
Right.
You know. I like it, here's one of the things I like about, I like Jimmy Fallon, because Jimmy Fallon makes fun of both, right? He'll make fun of both, he plays the card, he plays both. You know, you get a guy like Colbert, who's obviously one-sided on this, he just constantly, you know what I mean? To me, it's like, to me, it gets old because it's like, okay, you know what I mean? You know, to me, because to me, it almost seems like as an entertainer, you know, you really don't want to make those decisions in a sense, right? You want to just keep it,
yeah, you kind of
keep
like,
it more neutral. Like, hey, I don't care, you know, this person's this person, you know what I mean? Like on Saturday Night Live, those skits they make fun of, they're making fun of both candidates.
Yeah, they make fun of both.
Right,
yeah.
But when somebody comes out and just constantly makes one, it's like you're preaching to me in a sense. You know what I mean? You might as well be telling me, hey, my religion's better than yours, or. And this kind of thing. And I think that's why there's a bit of distaste in something like that.
Well, to be fair, there is much more humor to be found in Donald Trump than there is in Hillary.
See, again, you're just pointing out from your biased perspective. And
well, no, there's just more material. I mean, from a comedian perspective, there's more material. I mean, you can't say that that's not true.
Well, you know, you may be right on that. Yeah, you know, he's a guy.
I mean, that's like saying there's more material in Paul Ryan, or the same amount of material in Paul Ryan than there is in Donald Trump. No, there isn't. I mean, it's just Donald Trump's doing this shit that just lends itself to make being
like I said earlier. There's so much ridiculousness in it. There's nothing funny to talk about or write about in it. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
Did you see the story, speaking of him, that his son-in-law, the one that's married to Ivanka, reached out in secret to that boutique investment firm that handles media deals?
Yeah, like doing some sort of like...
Like Trump TV or something like that?
Right, yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
There's always been a thought that he's going to start his... This whole thing has been about him starting his own media network, like his own Fox News type. And he was like whipping up all this support to get people to like, okay, now you have a place to go and now you have a place to watch. That's not the media slant. That's not the corrupt media against everybody. Now it's going to be real.
The things that amaze me is that one side says, I can't believe we're talking about conspiracy theories, and now someone else is talking about more conspiracy theories.
No. It's not a conspiracy theory. This was reported by the Washington Post.
All right. You know, if there's an opportunity, you would imagine that somebody in the Trump organization would try to find any opportunity to build the Trump name somehow, right?
Except for the fact that he came out and said he wasn't going to do this.
Well,
that's why it's a story.
You know, maybe, you know, at the time he maybe decided he wasn't going to do it. Maybe that wasn't in the plans. You know, but like, you know, if somebody had asked you 8 months ago if you're going to move to Atlanta, you're like, I'm not going to move to Atlanta, you know, and now look at you, you know. So, you know, what somebody says does. I mean, to me, it's like saying, who gives a shit? The guy,
Aren't you allowed to change your mind?
You are. The things you say, like, everybody's shocked. And by the way, I mentioned this the other day. I love Michelle Obama. I really do. But she was, I mean, she got an Oscar for that overacting speech she did. You know, I mean, it was a little much, to be honest with you, but it was, you know, touching and at the point and everything was great, but it was a little overacting, I mean, to be honest with you. But, you know, and it's really good that they don't have Hillary out on the tour. It's brilliant to their campaign to getting Obama out there talking for her. Michelle, of course, great idea. You know, have them go do some of the work for her. That's brilliant. You know, for the Clinton campaign,
absolutely.
You know, do what you can. Because nobody trusts her. The problem is, you see her face out there. You're like, ah. You know, this fucking, you know.
Yeah. Part of it's that. And the other part of it is that Donald Trump has been having such a bad couple of weeks. Like, she doesn't even want to get in the way. She just wants him to. By her not being out there, there's nothing for the media to talk about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more.
Like, just let him fucking implode.
Just more WikiLeaks stuff.
Let him dig his own grave.
Yeah. Just a little more WikiLeaks stuff.
Yeah, but that WikiLeaks stuff, it's not telling us anything that nobody ever didn't think or know. You know what I mean?
Well, that's my point. The whole thing is that the whole thing about him, it's everything we didn't know. You know, he's been on Howard Stern. Most of these clips are on Howard Stern. That's the content. You're going to be on there. You're going to be a certain way. So, you know, he could be playing it up for the camera. I mean, you know, to me, it's like there's no surprise to me the things I hear and all the stuff about Trump. It's not a surprise to me. Like, it's not a surprise to me that Hillary broke the law, lied and cheated, and, you know, and did all kinds of stuff for power and stuff. It's not a surprise to me that she's a power broker in Washington, and a family is. It's not a surprise to me that the system is somewhat, you know, they can't say that, you know, the system is corrupt. It's already been proven. The whole Democratic nomination system was corrupted. It's known. So why is it so far-fetched for the American public at this point not to think that the whole thing is just a big fucking joke? And to point out that any of the players may get money out of it by doing his own little fucking reality series. That's what this country's about. Do whatever the fuck you want. Whether he becomes president or not, then, you know, if he becomes president, marriage, how embarrassing it is. He's like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to go this fucking far. And then he'll really eat a bag of dicks, and then he'll really be exposed for who he is. But until that moment, I got to assume that, we're sitting there with a shit pot in this country, an embarrassment of these two potential people that are going to run this country. And I have a lot, and I'm actually considering becoming an expatriate at some point myself, because, I don't really like, I fuck standing up anymore for the flag. I'm at the point where I'm ready to abandon ship, and leave the fucking rats on the ship. Everybody sucking, trying to get a piece of everybody else's life.
Can Elgin and I donate a few bucks to the plane ticket?
Yeah, anytime you want to donate money, I'll take it.
Can we start a Kickstarter or something to help you move?
I think I'll go to Belize. I'll go somewhere and maybe I'll start like a comedy clinic. Maybe I'll teach all the indigenous people of Belize how to be comics. That's what I'm gonna start doing. I'm gonna just
Welcome to Belizealinos, the Wednesday night wise guy comedy show.
Hey guys, open mic.
Hey, open mic?
Yes.
Who's Mike?
Who's Mikey? Miguel?
Knock, yes. Knock. Who's there? Knock,
yes. Knock. Gringo.
That's,
gringo
that's
who?
The beauty of it. You can start with just the basic jokes, what I mean? So there's this chicken and there's this road.
Yeah. And watch.
Did you eat it?
Yes. Why did you let it go?
Why did it cross the road? Because we ate it.
Because the neighbors.
We were so hungry.
Yes. Because we tried to catch it to eat it. And it ran across the street and ran over Billy. Little Billy's never been so slow. Hey, listen, you can do whatever you want. Well, you guys inspire. You fucking went to Atlanta and you're doing your shit. You're banging a new chick over there in the comedy scene. And, Elgin now, Elgin in comedy, he's... listen, in all fairness, he had a rough night one night, and it's kind of affecting his, and then now...
No, but I'm working on Burn and Crash now, and like...
Really have you seen the video from his Burn and Crash thing where he gets up there? He's, I don't know, it's like a...
It's not me, man.
Sorry.
No, it's not. I'm really... It's these two 17-year-old kids. They're just like, they're funny
Burn
kids.
And Crash. Burn they, and Crash.
Yeah,
okay.
Burn and Crash. It's a...
No, I saw it live. I saw it live.
Yeah.
And,
But wait, but what happened with the comedy thing that went bad? I didn't hear this.
Oh no! Yeah. I just did a show and I wasn't happy with the way it came out, and I just wanted
Was it the MTV one? Was it the
which one?
I don't. Was it a recent show?
Yeah.
Was it the one that you were gearing up for, that big one?
Yeah, I went away and I wasn't happy with the first half of the show, with the stand-up portion of it, and then we did some games and stuff, and that was fun, and I had some hits and stuff like that. But personally, I feel like my set it didn't come across the way I wanted it to, it made me want to step back and kind of reevaluate the way I do things and how I do things. I told Dougie, not in confidence or anything. I just told Dougie, I said, I'm just focusing on Burning Crash right now. And stand up for me is I'll get up when I can, whatever. But I want to try to do more Burning Crash stuff. Not that I'm quitting.
You're
going to
let one strikeout stop you from going back up to the plate?
See, that's what why is it being interpreted that way?
Well,
because that's what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I told him the same thing. I would be the opposite. I'd be that just means you got to get up more.
I just said it makes me want to reinterpret things and work things out differently. And it just makes you go back at all the time that you've been doing comedy. And just it's not I want to hit the reset button, but kind of.
Well, and listen, who doesn't at this point? I've questioned my own self. I got the email. I didn't get into the Boston Comedy Festival. So that's one of those moments where I'm like, maybe my style, my way I am, whatever, maybe someone looks at that in a different way, And, so you ask yourself all these questions,
Yeah.
And, fuck it, what am I doing? I should go back and just be doing my job full time, working with a suit and tie, making $250,000 a year and driving around a fucking BMW M class.
I definitely don't. I mean, not that I don't want to make money and be driving nice cars, but. That's not how I feel about it.
I know. Well, I did for my whole life, my whole fucking adult life. That's what I did for 27, 8, 20 years, ran the rat race, went to the conference, listened to conference calls and sat in fucking meetings that I wanted to kill everybody at because I fucking, then you got to hang out with people when you hang out. Hey, let me tell you about this client I got. Shut the fuck up. I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? That's enough. Enough of that.
Right.
Now I got to move on. So, what John and I are trying to say is buck up, motherfucker. Keep going and, let's get you on stage. That's all. Do your Burn and Crash thing. I know it's not you, but, spend time on it.
Yeah.
And,
First of all, what are you doing so close to a 17-year-old boy? if it's not you.
Just manage. I manage them because
All right, boys, time to hit the shower.
I saw them perform, and they.
He learned that in Penn State.
No, they knew that I was a comic, and they saw me on MTV, and yeah. they reached out to me and said, "Can you like get us some shows?" So I've been like pretty much booking them shows and getting them shows, and then they sneak out and they go perform these shows, and then
right.
And then they go back home. But, right. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to promote them when they don't want their dad to find out. We just can't tell their dad.
Yeah.
They have the same dad? Are they brothers?
Yeah, they're brothers. They're twin brothers. They're 17
years old. They are twins? They don't look the same height. One looks taller than the other.
Well, sometimes
they could be fraternal.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. They're not identical twins.
Okay. And the other...
Bernard and Kramer. That's
Bernard and Kramer?
Burn and Crash, yeah.
Okay.
Is their mom like a MILF?
I never really met her, but she sounds pretty hot, and she talks about like crazy things. Like she's always talking about sexual situations, but she almost does it in the way that she doesn't realize she's saying these things. You know what I mean?
Hold on a second, I got to put down my dildo.
Yes, it's like she's saying
just things
crazy,
that slip out.
Know. She's like, "Oh my God, look at that! I've sucked so many dicks, but I'm not gay." She said something like that one time. We were like, "What? What is she talking about?"
Yeah, so I don't know if that makes sense.
Exactly. She just and she's like, "It's just skin." I don't know. She's crazy.
It is. Very sensitive skin.
So
it's not like the skin that's on the bottom of your feet.
No.
There's sometimes I wish it was. You're trying to last an extra couple minutes.
Yeah. You know they have a new thing that just came out. It's a desensitizing spray.
Did you see it? It's part of
Dougie's
like, "See it? I've been using it for weeks."
Why do you think the wife's so happy?
Numbing my dick for weeks. You're just numbing your dick down.
I've called Dr.
They call it Dougie spray.
They're going to be sponsoring the show next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Dougie gets fucking share.
Wake up
shareholder.
Dougie show sponsored by Dougie Spray. Desensitizer. Spray that shit on your junk and you won't even feel the trunk.
Oh, feel like God. A porn star, gentlemen. My dick's like a big fucking wiffle bat. Oh, that's too funny. Anyway, we're going to take a break with that said. I can't top that. Right? I mean,
can't beat that with a
man. That's it.
That was a good break.
Yeah.
You can't top that. So, bye.
Anyway, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of it. That's what happens. Russian city inaugurates statue to bloody Ivan the Terrible.
Hmm.
Now, usually in parks and stuff like that, you put up people who are, honorable.
Well regarded.
To good people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not terrible?
Yeah. I mean, Ivan the Terrible remind me a little bit about this gentleman, John, but wasn't he like, didn't he like kill his own citizens?
He was pretty terrible, from what I understand.
I mean, when your name is Ivan the Terrible... it's like you're not Ivan the guy, not so bad,
right?
You're Ivan the Terrible.
Yeah.
Though I think his name was just Ivan, and people called him that.
Right.
It's not like he popped out. His mom's like, "Oh, I'm going to name him. I'm going to name him Ivan the Terrible."
Yeah, we changed our family name to Terrible.
Yeah. Although I did go to high school with a guy by the name of Terribelli, so maybe it was like that type of thing.
Yeah, it pronounced
just a mispronunciation.
Different.
Maybe right. It was Ivan the Terribelli.
Yeah. And Orel, Russia. Despite protests and court battles, the Russian city of Orel has unveiled the country's first monument to Ivan the Terrible, the bloody 16th-century czar who massacred his subjects by the thousands and even reportedly killed his own son. At a ceremony Friday, officials inaugurated the statue of Ivan on horseback, wielding both a sword and a cross, because you need both of those. Right? In one hand, you have the cross of your holy father, and the other hand, you have a sword, which takes life as you see fit.
Well, it just makes it easier to put the connection between murder and religion together. Instead of having just yeah, to be alliterative, it's right there.
Listen, we don't want to make this a big fucking secret anymore.
Right, exactly.
You don't need to get a movie with Tom Hanks to figure it out.
Right.
In the city pronounced Al-Yol. South of Moscow, the region's governor likened the brutal czar favorably to current Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is one of Elgin's favorite politicians and world leaders.
Absolutely none of
Donald
favorite.
Trump's, too.
Yeah. We have a great, powerful president who has forced the world to respect and defer to Russia, just like Ivan the Terrible did in his time. Ivan, who reigned back in 1547 and 1584. That's a long reign. Not a bad reign.
Yeah,
right.
It's pouring.
That's a monsoon.
Like a monsoon.
Yeah, it's a deluge. I was responsible for violence, including Novgorod massacre, which killed thousands. But he's also respected as both key to Russia's establishing itself as an empire and as a patron of the arts, including the commissioning the landmark St. Basil's Cathedral, which dominates Red Square in Moscow. The erection of the statue comes as Russia, encouraged by Putin, has undergone a broad reassessment of its history. Now, Russia's going through all these drills now and stuff to prepare for, we talked about it on the show, and now they're building these mass, in the cities, they're actually starting to build mass, shelters for its people for nuclear war.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary. I would hate to live in that environment. Just to have
you
that,
hate to live in that until
to have
all of a sudden
that fear just looming over your head all the time, and you actually see them building these.
Well, I guess you get the people panicking, right? People in Russia starting to go, "What the fuck? Why are we doing all this shit?" Well, the fucking Amerikanskis over there, you know, they're pissing us off. I mean, look at the guys, look at the people. And by the way, I guess, you know, they are saying that Russia's they're pointing the finger at them. There's a big, right now we are almost in a cyber war, because the United States is deciding that Russia is responsible for interfering with our political system. It's not just one thing stealing evidence, but now to interfere with the continuity of the government and this institution. Now it's actually an act of war where you're actually trying to influence it. So now the United States is preparing its own, how would you say, John?
Cyber attack.
Its own cyber attack or its own reciprocation.
Countermeasure.
Yeah, its own. Exactly. Thank you. So you maybe
counterattack.
You could actually do better than Gary Johnson.
See, I know.
Because if somebody asked Gary Johnson that question, they'd go, "So what do you think this is? We're gonna smack him back. He would not answer. Oh, retaliate.
So you're saying this guy is a moron?
He's a fucking moron.
Okay.
You know. So this can happen in days, right, John? This type of retaliation the United States is preparing.
Yeah, I mean, nobody knows exactly what the retaliation is.
That's what I was going to say. What type of cyber attack?
Well,
are they planning?
Yeah, nobody knows what it is, and more likely than not, the American public is not. It's not going to be something that's public. You know what I mean? It's most likely what it's going to be is something to the effect of all of a sudden Putin gets an email in it with some really damaging information that can be made public. That we have, or that's been hacked from their server, you know what I mean? And as a way of saying, knock it off. You know,
we're gonna take a picture of a screenshot of their desktop.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna set it as their background and move their icons. Ooh, watch them click.
Do you remember when there was that leak of those papers that came out with all the rich people's bank accounts that they were hiding all that money and all that kind of shit? Yeah, and supposedly there's we have information on where Putin is, all of his leaders hiding all this money they've taken from the government.
Yeah, that's speculation, is that we can release where these assets are that were legally through the black.
Obtained. So basically, it's basically we just show that to Putin and be like, "Hey, buddy, shut the fuck up."
Yeah,
and then it goes away.
Right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. If you don't shut up, we're gonna release.
Yeah, they got something.
Is that blackmail in a way?
No, it's basically saying we can do to you what you're doing to us. Okay, so yeah. If you want to go forward with this, fine, we'll go forward with it. But you're going to be a lot more hurt than we are.
Let me
really all they're just trying to influence the election to get Donald Trump elected. I mean, that's what they're trying to do.
And why do you think that is?
Why? Because it would plunge this country into fucking chaos.
All right,
they're
so
not stupid.
That's a long call. That's going a long way. With some sort of thinking that's possible,
dude.
You know what I mean?
Putin's ex KGB. He's thinking long game right now.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying again. Those who make fun of people for conspiracies of a whole elected system that's corrupt. That you know, all of a sudden that Putin is actually basically almost going to war with a country because he's hoping part of his plan is that this guy is going to go there and completely just destroy the whole system. And then he's going to sit back and laugh. That's the whole process.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's the only reason he wants to sit back and laugh. I mean, he might think it's more beneficial for Russia if he's in power than, you know, Hillary Clinton would be a lot tougher on Russia as the thought process than Donald Trump would be, seeing that Donald Trump has done a lot of business with Russia and Paul Manafort, who was his ex campaign chairman.
Enough political talk. We're done.
Well, you asked me a question.
We had enough.
That made a lot of sense, though.
Yeah.
What John just said.
Oh, you want to keep talking? Go ahead.
No, that did. I mean, that made explanation was making sense.
Of course it is. It's John Levine.
About why? Because they've done business together. It makes more sense that they would probably continue to do business. Right.
But my point is that, you know, why would you go through a potential act of war to do something that's already going on that could easily go on even after? I mean, what is the current administration done on anything? If anything, the Russia should be happy with the current administration. Russia's ecstatic with the current administration. He's not sitting back going, oh my God, the America's putting so much pressure on us. That's why he's become this. That's why there's a fucking statue of Ivan the Terrible and part of his country is because it's rekindled his power and within his own country, which is something even Donald Trump said. Look, you're gonna respect somebody. This guy's actually rising from the ashes. It doesn't make him, but if you're going to respect somebody, he's bringing his country together. And it could be for wrong or good. But again, sometimes being the bad guy or the good guy just depends on what side of the story you're being told. You know what I mean?
Well, his own people don't like him.
Yeah. Well, you know, ethnocentric comic. It's a very ethnocentric comic. Everybody, until you live there, until you know, you know, then we don't know. I mean, you can't say that. People talk bad about our own, you could say the same thing in our own country. People talk good and bad about Obama. That doesn't, what the fuck's that mean? You know? And who's to say what the big picture is for Russia? You know, who knows? Who knows what the fuck, you know? We don't know.
Yeah, but you can look at the fact that only the Democratic side of this has been hacked and is being released. Nothing's been released about the Republican side.
Well, again,
so it's clear that they're coming down on one side of
this. Well, you know, listen, and now people are coming out of the woodwork that they supposedly were molested and all kinds of things like that. You know, and it might be all just big of a big chess game that are being played by the world and not just by this country. Any rate, next story, small plane's wing strikes woman after landing in Slovenia. Now, either this is one big fat fucking woman, right?
Or she was standing in the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Who does stand-up comedy on a runway? Come on, lady.
Well.
You were out there with your comedy clinic. You told her some jokes.
She heard our show
and
radio.
And she was standing on the fucking, and you know, she got clipped by the
yeah.
way.
Well, so tell me about these pilots. Oop.
Three pilots walk into, ow!
Anybody part of the Mile High? Ow! And
this airport must be run by Ivan the Terrible.
Ow! Look,
they get to put the statue of him. Ow! The fucking Jetsons. Ljubljana, Slovenia. Slovenian police say a 66-year-old female pedestrian required hospital treatment after being hit by the wing of a small plane, which was taxiing at an airport. Police said Monday that the pilot, a 69-year-old man, apparently lost control on Sunday, put the car or the fucking plane in reverse when he thought it was in drive.
Maybe just keep grandma and grandpa out of the
airport. Yeah, I mean, what the fuck
airport,
are these old people doing right? Walking around the airport? By the way, our airport is a geriatric clinic as well. It's an old age home. We let the old people walk on the runway.
It's an insane asylum. She got clipped by a guy going with his arms out.
It's a guy running around
just
with the ironing board.
Running around with his arms out.
The guy who got two ends of the table on his arm. It wasn't a plane. She's crazy. Police said Monday that the pilot 69 apparently lost control Sunday at a small airfield near Ljubljana, and the plane swerved toward the street and hit the woman who was walking on a parallel path. Police say her injuries were not life-threatening, but she'll never fly a plane again. Police say an investigation is underway to determine the cause of the incident. Perhaps that the fucking pilot's 69 years old. Let's start with that obvious fact. Right? Here's the story. Mom jailed with daughter after mailing drugs to her. Hey, Mom, can you send me that care package?
Wait, so the mom was jailed with the daughter after sending... So the mom sent the daughter drugs?
By the way, anybody want to take a guess on where this happened?
Florida.
Yeah. In Key West, Florida, authorities say a mother who mailed drugs to her incarcerated daughter.
Oh, boy.
Wait, she mailed drugs into the prison?
Yes.
Hilarious.
Oh, she deserves to be in jail.
You know something? I've known somebody who used to do that.
Yeah?
I'm not going to say no names, but they used to send, like, in formula bottles.
Right.
Like creatine and stuff so they can, like, lift weights and...
Oh, okay. Well,
no, they.
I'm sure that got through.
No, but no, they'd have to pour it out of this of the one bottle, and then they'd have to pour the other one in, and then reseal the thing and twist it on, and like glue it. You know what I mean? And it was like a whole big operation.
It's a lot to
all
go
that
through.
So you can get a better workout.
Yeah. Exactly. It's so stupid, right? And
hey, so what are you in for? Well, I was mailing whey powder into federal prison.
I just feel bad for the guy who had to shove it up his ass. For the first couple months, they figured out another way.
The smells funny.
Oh, no, they would. Sorry, they would send it in.
And there's corn in it.
They would send it in coffee creamers. You know, like powdered cream.
All right, I'm talking about drugs, man.
I know, but I'm saying, I guess, is it that easy to get it in there or what?
Well, we had a story one time that somebody threw a football full of them, like, onto the yard.
Yeah.
Like, they, you know.
They send birds, too.
Yeah, even like, drones now.
Yeah, I was going to say, somebody used a drone to do it.
Yeah. Well, Key West, Florida, say that the mother mailed the drugs to her daughter who was in jail. Monroe County Sheriff spokesman Becky Heron said in a news release that a deputy at the jail near Key West found the envelope and noticed it had chemical smell. He opened the envelope and saw a substance inside. An incident report says the substance turned out to be
epinephrine?
Buprenorphine, B-U-R-P-R-E-N-O-R-P-H-I-N-E, buprenorphine, okay. A synthetic opiate. Deputies arrested 55-year-old Nadine Carroll on Thursday. Now Carroll's in the same jail as her daughter, 27.
Who's going to mail them drugs?
That's right.
They're sending out self-addressed stamped envelopes to the outside.
No, I saw an article in the newspaper. I don't know if it was real or fake, but it said, like, attention meth users. If you bought meth in these three states, please bring it to the sheriff's office so it can be tested because it has been infected with the Zika virus. We want to make sure you are using clean meth. So please bring all your meth down to be tested.
We'll change it with some good meth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I wonder how well that worked.
Yo, people fall for that shit.
But we did that story, didn't we? We did the story, but nobody came back. Nobody said
the sheriff of Maricopa County. All the time he used to do shit like that. And he would say, like, hey, you won a contest, come on down and collect your check, and then come and get busted.
The old lottery thing's always, hey, you know, tell him he won the lottery. He signed this thing. Yeah. He's like, I don't remember filling that out. Like, yeah, I must have.
If you don't come get it, it's $10,000, you know, and then you come down. I saw they did a TV show with it, the Maricopa County Sheriff. And
Joe Arpaio.
Yeah, they set him up to do, like, the guy was in a bed getting a massage with the cucumbers over his eyes, and a green mask, and the towel around his head, and a robe. And they set him up. Oh, and then when he takes the cucumbers off, whatever his name is, standing right there. You're under arrest. How hilarious is that? But I think they all got let go because it was like kind of entrapment or something.
Yeah.
This just didn't.
It was a
criminals
TV show.
Are stupid.
Hey, speaking of that, here's our last story of the day. Daughter fears drug addict stole and ingested her mother's ashes.
What?
This must be a good stash.
And then mailed it into a prison.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Got something good for you. Brockton, Massachusetts, a woman whose mother's ashes were stolen from her car, fears an addict stole and ingested them, thinking they were drugs. Carolyn Parker tells the news, of Brockton, the ashes were in a plastic bag inside a small white box in her glove compartment. They were taken from her unlocked Jeep in Massachusetts on Monday. She said the thief took only the ashes, leaving behind her expensive sunglasses. Must have been a drug addict. $20 in change and a gold chain hanging from the rearview mirror. This girl was asking to be robbed.
Did she get $20 in change in her car?
Really? What is she selling, ice cream?
Or doing laundry?
Who is she, John Hine?
She's doing laundry.
No reference nobody's going to get, but thanks for the Florida comedy reference, John.
No problem.
Her mother died in July at the age of 71. Oddly enough, she was walking by an airport in Lithuania. Parker had the Parker had the ashes in her vehicle so she could spread them in her mother's favorite spots.
That was good.
Which also included
up the nose of a common thief.
Where she sprinkled them on quarters and then put them in.
Yeah. She says it's mortifying to think that someone may have ingested her ashes. She's asking the thief to return them. No questions asked. Why don't somebody just bring a bag of dirt and drop it under your front? Porch. There she is. I'm sorry, we turned your mom into manure.
Yeah.
She will help things grow. That'll be fucking rough.
Just do it in a bag and light it on fire. She steps on her own.
Do the old burning bag trick. Yeah. I got your mom out of here. Oh, put it out. Oh, my God. Big old things of dog shit. Oh, that's great.
Oh, man.
Again, you guys have come through. No better way to end the show than on that last laugh. By the way, it's exciting. This week on Friday, on Saturday, I'm going to be headlining the American Rock Bar and Grill. Minda Moe will be your host, along with Perry Sack as a headliner. And Talia B is doing a guest spot.
Talia B.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure, it hasn't been official yet, but the 23rd, I'm going to be at the Florida's Funniest Comedian Contest in Miami at Red Bar in Brickell. It should be sometime on Sunday the 23rd, unless something's changed. And should be in that contest. Come out to that. And go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. You can follow Elgin.
At Elgin David Comic.
And John?
Just go to my website at JohnLevineComedy.com.
There you go. Thanks again for listening, guys. And by the way, tomorrow, I don't know, I don't think we'll have a show. But I will have another show this week, along with Steve Zimmerman, our headliner at the Wise Guys Comedy Show, and Adam Murray from Orlando, who's going to be our feature this week. That's right, Wednesday night, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show. I'll be your host. Had a great time last week. Hadn't been there in a couple weeks. And then, of course, and Adam Murray from Orlando and Steve Zimmerman, very funny comic, will be your headliner. So just $10, come out to the show at Tavolino's. Thanks for listening, guys, and I'll see you here in a couple days right here at the same spot.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground.